Turning to the portion that we previously read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. And with the Word of God open, we're going to bow together in prayer. This morning we're going to consider the subject of losing your vision. Losing your vision. We need to pray that the Lord will work mightily in our hearts and that the Lord will speak to our souls. Let's just bow together with God's Word open before us, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. Write Thy Word upon our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. We've been singing, Lord, Thy praises. We have also been praying, Lord, as we've been singing it, Thou wilt lead us and guide us through life. Lord, as we come to Thy Word, we pray that Thou wilt lead us. Lead us by faith to the cross. Lead us each step of the way, verse by verse, page by page, to Christ. O God, our Heavenly Father, we cry to Thee that Thou wilt bring us to the Lord. Help us now, Lord, to be shut in with Thyself, close away, and close out everything that is and a distraction to us, a hindrance. We pray that Thou wilt bind this strong man and spoil his goods. Grant that in all that is said and done, the great name of our God will be uplifted and glorified. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here in the book of Hebrews, we find that the author was writing to a people who were in great danger. They were in danger of losing their vision of Christ. In danger of losing their sight of the Lord. And so God's servant wrote to them to remind them that as they had commenced in the Christian life, so they needed to continue by faith and by the grace of God. And so they needed to complete the Christian life by faith. Of course, when we think of the danger of losing your vision, this is an issue that is relevant to each and every single Christian. There is not one believer who is exempt from this. There is a danger for each and every child of God that you and I, that we can lose our vision of Jesus Christ. We only have to think of Peter. And whilst his vision was focused firmly there upon the Lord as he walked on the water, he walked victoriously. He walked with his eyes fixed and focused firmly upon the Savior. But the moment that he took them off the Lord, he began to sink in unbelief. There's a danger for each Christian, each child of God. And here, God's servant wrote to these Hebrew believers, and he gave to them the illustration of the Christian life as a race. That's what he uses here to instruct them and to teach them, to give them a personal example. He says to them that each and every Christian is a participant in this Christian race. And he says, as you have now started, go through with God. Don't quit. Don't go back. Don't turn aside from the gospel. The Hebrew Christians were in great danger of turning aside from the things of God, turning away from the gospel, going back to the old rituals, the old ways of Jewish worship. That meant, of course, and would mean returning to the temple with the morning and the evening sacrifices, to those sacrifices that offered continually could never, never take away sins. And God's servant reminded them of that fact. If you look with me, for instance, at Hebrews chapter 10 and the verse 11, here he points them to the supremacy, to the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11 reads, "And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, that's Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He points them to Christ. He reminds them of the fact that they need to get their eyes once again focused firmly, centrally upon the Lord Jesus. He exhorts them to continue by faith. And he draws their attention to this illustration of the athlete or of the runner. And this morning we're going to look at some lessons for running in this Christian race in order that we might not lose our vision. There is here the duration expressed in the race. If you look at me at verse 1, Paul says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Here, God's servant employs a powerful picture of the stadium, that arena where the Roman games were held. The scene is set. The stadium is now filled to capacity. The spectators are watching on. The start of the race commences. The whistle goes. The athletes are now off. It's not a sprint. It's not even a number of laps of the track. No, it is the long distance race that is here in view. And the Christian life is to be likened to the long distance race. It's to be likened to the marathon. God's servant reminded them of that fact in Hebrews and the chapter 10 and the verse 36. He said to them, to the Hebrew Christians, "For ye have need of patience." How apt, how appropriate. Of course, how true and how relevant that is in our day and generation. How relevant those words are to us as God's people, that we have need of patience. We live in a day when things are instant and instantaneous. There's no waiting. And we must be careful as God's people that we do not let that dictate to us how we live our Christian life and how we live by faith. We are to exercise patience. God's servant then goes on in Hebrews and the chapter 11 to give great illustrations of men and women who lived that life of faith. How they patiently endured. How they waited upon God. They stand as a great example to each and every Christian. We only have to think of Abraham, Moses, Noah, Joseph. Great men and women of God who, through faith, persevered. Through faith, continued to the end. They don't only stand as a great example, but a great encouragement. Because child of God, here were men and women who faced great opposition, persecution, great trials, who had to wait by faith patiently for years. And yet, they completed the course. Their vision, you see, was upon the Lord. They stand as a great cloud of witnesses. If you look at Hebrews chapter 12, God's servant speaks about this. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." He's here using the illustration of the stadium. And he's saying to the Hebrew Christians, think of it that you're now in a stadium. You're in the arena of life. Think of those who have gone home to glory, who have gone on before you. They're now like the spectators. They're looking down, they're watching. The whistle has gone. You're now off. You're running in the Christian race, in the Christian life. But it's a marathon. It's not the short distance. We have need of patience. Of course, the clouds, when you think of where the clouds of witnesses, the clouds are in heavens. And that's where these witnesses are. They're at home with the Lord. Those saints are witness to the fact that the Christian life is one of great trial and strife, but they are witnesses to the faithfulness of God, that the Lord has brought them through, that they personally have endured and finished the race. We must always bear in mind the duration of the race. Then here, as we consider the Christian life viewed as a race, it's also, I feel, important that we consider the diet that is essential for the race. For God's servant said, "Let us run." In order to take part in a long distance race, let's say it is the marathon, there are races and there are tasks that are even more grueling than the marathon, but the marathon is 26.2 miles. For someone to participate in the marathon, it's estimated that they need to carry out roughly a 6-month intensive training program. There are a number of factors that need to be taken into consideration. There is what is known as a discipline rule. The thought is, well, if you were going to run the long distance, maybe you're not even able to run 5 miles or 6 miles to start with. Maybe you're not able to even walk that distance. So you begin to run a little distance, whether it's half a mile or a mile. And then you increase your mileage a week later by 10%. Then 2 weeks later, you increase it again by another 10%. And so you're always building to go further. You're striving to go to new lengths and new distances that you've never run before, that you've never experienced or known. Just a picture of the Christian life. Some of the Lord's people here, you've been running here in the Christian race and the Christian life for some 30, 40, 50 years. But do you know, child of God, that there are heights to knowing God that you and I have never experienced, depths that we have never plummeted. There's a breadth to knowing God that we have never known. We are always to strive to go forward and to go further with God. Then there's determination that's needed as well as discipline, but also diet. Diet is very, very essential for someone who's running. And I think that is hinted at here. That is essential. In other words, if you're going to run in the marathon, you just can't eat any food that you like. No, not only do you need a balanced diet, you need a very strict diet. In general, runners will eat foods that are rich in carbohydrate. Around about 70% of their intake will be carbohydrate. And the thought is, you can't just eat any food and then run well. Junk food will most certainly not help. Now, we only have to think of the Christian life. What we feed upon affects how we participate and how we run. You and I, as God's people, we need to be feeding our souls upon the right diet. That is essential. I'm amazed at times when I hear what Christian parents allow their children to watch on television. I'm amazed. We need to be careful. You as a young person, those who are in their 20s, etc. It is vitally important that you feed your soul upon the right things. If you feed your soul upon what we would call the junk food of this world, upon the world and its media, then you will most certainly not perform well in the Christian life, in the Christian race. Now, the strength that a runner gets, the energy that he gets, shall I say, comes from those foods that are called carbohydrates. Now, in Ulster, we like carbs. In fact, most of our diet is carbohydrate. We like our soda bread, our titty bread. We like all of our breads and pasta, etc. Well, those foods that are carbohydrates, when they are intaken into the body, they're broken down into sugar, then they're turned into glycogen. Glycogen's where you get your energy. Carbohydrate foods are broken into two categories, simple and complex. It's just a picture of how we are to succeed, and how we are to run in the Christian race. There are foods that are complex carbohydrates. These give the long-term benefit. Bread, pasta, rice, those are the sorts of foods. You know, when we think about it, it's just a picture of the Word of God. When the apostle here, when he was saying, "Let us run with patience," he was saying to the Hebrew Christians here, you need to have the right diet. You need to be feeding your soul upon the Word of God. Think of the runner. Think of the athlete participating in that race. The right diet is essential. We need to, as the runners do, load on carbohydrates. Someone's going to run a marathon, they will, for a number of days, they will just eat non-stop. They'll eat carbohydrates. We are to feed ourselves upon the bread of life, upon the word of God. I wonder how well you have been running in the week that has passed into eternity in the Christian race. Perhaps you found it difficult, hard. But then we would have to ask the question, what has your diet consisted of? Not your physical diet, but your spiritual diet. Then there are foods that are not only complex, but they are simple carbohydrates. I like these ones. Bread, or should I say honey, jam, and sweets. They're the simple ones. They give a short burst of energy. Do you know that whenever the Lord brought his people into the land of promise, that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey? You see, there were times when the children of Israel, they would be weary. Times when they would be discouraged. Times that they would be fatigued. And they would be able to lift up the honey. And whenever they would take the honey, it would give them a short burst of energy. It would get them up and going again. It's just a picture of the Word of God. Times when we are discouraged, finding the way difficult, and perhaps someone points us to a verse of Scripture, the Lord brings a word before us, and from that word, from that very verse, it's just like the honey to us. We're able to get up and get going again. When we think of the Christian race, it's not only important to have the right diet for the race and to think about the duration, but there's also the difficulties that are encountered, and there are so many of them. Weight is a great hindrance. It's a hindrance to someone who is participating. It will slow them down. Extra weight will always cause problems when running. Now notice the divine order here in the verse 1. This is important. God's servant says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run." In other words, the weight must be set aside before there is the running, the participation. And that's because that weight will slow down, it will hinder. The weight, of course, here spoken about is sin. Sin will always be a barrier, a hindrance, a weight in the Christian life. Child of God, you and I, we cannot participate, we cannot run in the Christian race if we trifle with the things of the world, if we yield to the things of the world. No, that sin must be put away with, it must be put aside. There is a difficulty of weight, there's also the difficulty of the way. Here in the verse 1, that is certainly hinted at. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see, each of us has our own race to run before the Lord. If I use the example of my wife and myself, there are times we're both saved, so we're both running in the Christian race, but there are times when we are running together as a family, as husband and wife, bringing up our children, etc. But there are times whenever I will run a different course from the course that my wife is running. There are times when I will be sick and maybe she will be sick. There are different things that we will face as individuals. And that is because each course that we run, it has been individually planned and mapped out, designed by the Lord. It is a race set before us. That's something that we need to bear in mind. Each route, therefore, will have its own unique problems, its own difficulties. For some, it will be the steep hills. For others, it will be the valleys. Not all the way will be smooth for some. And yet, whilst we run individually, we must remember that we also run together. There is a difficulty of weight, the way. There's also difficulty of weakness of the body. And it is a fact that when you are running in the race, it is inevitable that through time, as a runner, you're going to get an injury. Now, there's an important lesson to learn here. Whenever someone picks up an injury, the first thing they must do is treat the injury. I feel that oftentimes in our Christian life, what we try to do is we just try to keep going. We try to just put it aside, to forget about it. But no, the injury needs to be treated. In other words, it needs to be dealt with. In other words, we just can't ignore it. My wife, she likes running, and she's just telling me lately that she had picked up some sort of an injury, and I said to her, if you don't get it treated, you're going to not be able to run at all. She said, I'll keep running, I'll just run through the pain. I said, no, you won't. It will actually bring you to the point where you will no longer be able to run, left untreated. And when we think about how we get hurt as Christians, we need to make sure that the injury is treated by the Word of God. There's a difficulty of the weariness of the mind. This is spoken of in verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. We'll see in a moment how the mind is the battlefield. Then there's a difficulty of the weather and the difficulty of the wall. There are so many obstacles to running the Christian life, enduring in the race. Runners will generally hit what is termed the wall at around about 18 to 20 miles. The reason being is that the body that God designed is able to store enough glycogen for roughly 20 miles, but not much more. So there comes a point when all of your reserves of energy have been drained and completely used. And then you're then called to go further. And you hit what's called the wall. Now, a number of years ago, I had the opportunity of running, participating in a marathon. I know you wouldn't think that to look at me, but I had the opportunity, and someone asked me, in fact, a number of people asked me after I'd done it, what was it like to hit the wall? I said, I don't know. I didn't hit it. He must have been super fit. I said, no, the wall hit me. That's what it felt like. The only way that I could describe it was intense pain. It was that my whole body was numb. And that every step that I took, my mind was just continually saying, quit, you'll never make it, you'll never finish the course, give in now. You ever experienced that as a Christian? I'm sure you have. Times perhaps when you've become so discouraged, so hurt. Times when you become disillusioned. And you feel, Lord, I just can't take another step. There's no way forward for me. Well, although the problems here have been outlined and the difficulties in running the Christian race, praise God, God's servant here points us to the cure for every difficulty, and I say every difficulty in the Christian life. Here's something that will deal with every disappointment, every problem, every trial, every single thing you and I as God's people will come against. Firstly, for consider Him. When you become weak, when you feel like quitting, when you feel that you can't go forward, there's no way through, consider Christ. Get your vision focused firmly upon Him. For what is our light affliction compared to what He bore at Calvary? Look with me in verse 2, please. It says here in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. What was it that caused the Lord Jesus Christ to complete the course that was set before Him? To endure. It says, who for the joy set before Him. That joy was most certainly the joy of doing the Father's will. But can I say that joy was also the joy of bringing you, child of God, to glory? Oh, what a humbling fact. To have to acknowledge that you and I, as hell-deserving, ill-deserving, guilty sinners before God, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that there as He was mocked and scourged, as He was beaten, as He was ridiculed, there upon the cross as God His Heavenly Father poured out His fury upon Him and His wrath upon Him. But what caused Him to endure was the joy of bringing you nigh to glory. To present you faultless before His Father with exceeding joy. We need to consider Christ. Closing, can I say that there is here the direction that is emphasized in this race. These are practical lessons that we're looking at this morning. And here's another practical lesson, the direction emphasized in the race. God's servant says, looking unto Jesus. I once read a little booklet. It was entitled Golden Tips for Running a Marathon. I thought, well, I need to read this book. I need the secret tips. Let me just read a line or two. The biggest hindrance that will stop you from finishing your marathon is a lack of motivation. You need a vision of what your end goal will be. Ask yourself the question, what is my vision? What is my vision? What is my vision? Golden tip number one. You need the right vision. Can I say, child of God, in order to succeed in the Christian life, in order to complete the course, in order to endure, you and I need the right vision. We must have the right vision. For some, running in the marathon, it will be the vision of just crossing over the line, whether they walk over, crawl over, as long as they finish the course. Some, it will be finishing that marathon within a certain time. Here's a vision that you and I are to have. It's a vision, it's a sight, it's a glimpse of Jesus Christ. We need a clear vision of the blessed Son of God, of His person, who He is, of His work, what He has done. We must acknowledge that oftentimes we lose our vision of Christ. We don't see as clearly as we should. We lose sight of our Savior. We also need not only a clear vision, but also a constant vision of Christ. It's often been said that we need, in order to burden us to reach out to the lost, we need a vision of heaven and a vision of hell. But you know, preeminently, we need a vision of Him. We need a vision of Christ. Consider Him. Look unto Jesus. There is nothing, child of God, that will motivate you and I more and more than having a vision of Jesus Christ, or the Almighty Son of God. It is a vision of Christ that will help us and enable us to finish the course that is set before us. The word in the original language here in the Greek comes from two words. They mean to concentrate the gaze upon. So this word looking means to concentrate the gaze upon. And also it means to look away from one thing so as to see another more clearly. We need to concentrate on Christ. We need to focus on Christ. We need to look away from every single thing that distracts us, that hinders us. We are guilty, you see, at times of placing our eyes on our vision and looking at other competitors. Of course, the result is then we criticize. We find fault. Of course, the greater fault is with ourselves. We take our eyes, we set them in competitors, we set them in circumstances, but we are to have them fixed and focused completely upon Christ, looking unto Him. God's servant says, looking unto Jesus. As I close, I can't help but think that there are some here this morning, and as we have been considering the fact that we can, as God's people, lose our vision of Christ, that we need to remain focused, that you do not have a vision of Jesus Christ. As we've been talking about the Christian race, you have never commenced in the race. Therefore, you shall not receive the prize. What is the prize? The prize is Christ. The prize is Christ. Rather, your reward will be an eternity without God, without hope, without Christ. How do you commence in the Christian race? How do you start in this race? It's by faith. It's by faith looking to Christ. Jesus Christ alone can save you, change you, deliver you. As we have commenced, let us continue. Let us complete the course set before us. May the Lord take His word, write it on our hearts this morning, even for His own great name's sake.